As I mentioned this morning, I've entitled my message tonight, AWOL, Absent Without Leave. And I'm sure you can, I mentioned it this morning, and I'm sure as we read the scripture, you can figure out who I'm talking about when we get to that part of the message, talking about Thomas. But as we read from John chapter 20 a moment ago, the Bible says it was the first day of the week, Sunday. It was actually the first Easter. It was Resurrection Day. Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene in the cemetery. I think he'd already appeared to Peter at this point. I think he'd already appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus at this point. And now he comes to this place where the other disciples were gathered and says unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now, one of the things I hope that when we get to heaven, I still have the same desires that I have now as far as wanting to talk to some of these guys and see how they felt. I would just love to sit down with some of the disciples and have them recapture that first time they saw Christ after the resurrection and have them describe for me, how did you feel? What kind of emotions did you have? What did you think about? I think they were a little frightened. And I think that's why Jesus had to come and he said, "Peace be unto you." And then the Bible says that he showed them his hands and his side, where, of course, the nails were driven through his hands and the spear was stuck into his side. And I like that where the Bible says, "And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." I don't think there was any doubt in their mind anymore. This was the same person. This was the same Jesus. And then he commissioned them, as it's recorded here in the book of John. He said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And so he sent his disciples out, as he did in the other Gospels, to tell others about him. But there was somebody missing from this meeting. There was one of the inner circle, not the inner three, but the inner 12. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to make three statements, and then I want to give you some examples of what I mean by those statements. And then I want to make four points. Here's the three statements. There are times when Jesus reveals himself in a special way. Now, there are times, I mean, Jesus, every time in the New Testament that we come across him, I think he's teaching something about himself. But there were times where he did that in a very special way. Number two, statement number two. At such times, a wonderful blessing is always realized. In those special times when he reveals himself in a special way, there's always wonderful blessings associated with those times. Statement number three, those who are not present at those times suffer a huge loss. Those that miss, like Thomas did this particular time, he suffered a huge loss. He didn't get the blessing that God wanted him to get. Now, let me give you three examples of how those statements come into play. First example I would give you takes place at a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, recorded in John chapter 2. On the surface, there was nothing special about this wedding. The Bible doesn't tell us who the groom is or who the bride was to be. We know that Mary, Jesus' mother, was invited. We know that Jesus and his disciples were invited. I think many of the guests came to this wedding like they did any other wedding. I mean, they came expecting the ceremony to take place, and then they came expecting the reception. They had, much like we do today, they had a little party after the wedding. And I'm sure that if you went to those guests that were invited to that wedding that particular day, and ask them, well, what do you expect? Is this going to be a special wedding? They would say, no. This is nothing special. It's just another wedding. There'll be a groom. There'll be a bride. They'll be joined together as husband and wife. We'll have a little party, and we'll go home. And it's nothing extraordinary, nothing to write home about, so to speak. It's just another wedding. And I'm sure there were some of the guests that said, maybe I'll just skip this one. I went to a wedding last week, and I don't really know these people that well, and I'm sure that there'll be a crowd there, and I'm sure that they won't miss me at all. I mean, there'll be so many people that, you know, my absence won't be noticed. I won't be missed. And I'm sure there were some that were invited to the wedding that said, hey, I think I'll just skip it and I'll stay home. And yet, that was one of the times that Jesus revealed himself in a special way. Because when they ran out of wine at the reception, he told the servants to fill up 6 water pots full of water, and he worked a miracle and turned the water into wine. So much so that when they served it to the governor of the feast, the most special guest, he said to the groom, hey, most people serve the best wine first and save the not-so-good stuff till the end. But you've done it just the opposite. You've saved the very best to the end. And that on that particular day, Jesus revealed himself. The first recorded public miracle that's in the New Testament took place at this wedding. And all those that came to the wedding got the blessing to see this teacher, this preacher, who was just starting out, do something that nobody else ever did before, turn water into wine. The Bible says in John chapter 2, verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I mean, at an event that most people thought, well, this is just another wedding. Nothing special about this. Nothing extraordinary. And yet, at this wedding, you have the Son of God manifesting His glory, showing His glory, showing His power. Now, a lot of people didn't see it, but the disciples did. And the Bible says, when they saw it, they believed on Him. Second event that I would like to point to tonight is recorded in John chapter 6. You can entitle this one, A Meeting on a Mountain. On the surface, nothing special or different about this meeting. Jesus had had them before. He'd gone to a mountain and a large crowd had gathered on several occasions. And from that mountain, he spoke to the crowd. He taught. He preached. He told them about the kingdom of God. He told them in everyday stories what it was going to be like, the parables that he told. He told them how they were to enter the kingdom of God and what it meant to belong to the kingdom of God and how they should act as members of the kingdom of God. The disciples were there. There was a huge crowd there that day. The Bible says 5,000 men. And if you add in the women and the children that were there, most Bible scholars think there were upwards to 10 to 15,000 people gathered around Jesus that day as he taught and preached. We know the disciples were there. We also know of a little boy that was there whose mother had sent him that morning with a lunch of five small barley loaves, and the Bible says 2 small fishes. And I'm sure some said, as they heard about this meeting that Jesus was going to have that day, said this, well, I've heard this guy before. Last week when he had a meeting down at the other mountain, down the way a little bit, I was there. I heard him teach. I heard him preach. I heard him tell some of the parables about the kingdom of God. He is a good teacher. But sometimes he covers the same stuff. He talks on the same subject. And I'm sure there were some that day, as they heard about this meeting, that said, I think I'll just skip this one. You know, I went to the one last week, and I'm sure there'll be another one next week. There's something I need to do this afternoon. There's other things that are more pressing, I think. And I think I'll just skip this particular meeting at the mountain. I know I'll get to hear him again, and I think I just won't won't go. And yet you know that know the story in John chapter 6. Jesus decided again to reveal himself in a special way. He took that small lunch and he prayed, blessed it, began to break it, passed it out to the disciples, and the Bible says that every single person there had all they wanted to eat. They took up the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 14, then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So here you have a wedding that at the outset, no big deal, no special thing. And yet Jesus worked a miracle turning the water into wine, and his disciples believed on him. Here you have a teaching session, a preaching session, like many others that Jesus had. And at the outset, nothing extraordinary about it, nothing special. And yet Jesus took a small lunch and fed a crowd of 10, 15,000 people, where everybody had all they wanted to eat. They took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And when the crowd saw it, they said, this is surely the prophet. This is the Messiah that's come in to the world. The third event that I would use to illustrate these three statements is a funeral that takes place at Bethany, recorded in John chapter 11. On the surface, just another funeral. On the surface, nothing extraordinary about it. Yes, the man that died was a good guy, Lazarus. Everybody loved him, seemed to be an outstanding member of the community, good neighbor. And yes, he had two sweet sisters, Mary and Martha. The funeral was 4 days ago. And yet, as we read in chapter 11, there's still a group of people gathered at Mary and Martha's home helping them grieve, helping them take care of things that you need to take care of when somebody dies. That was the custom back then, just like it is today. And I'm sure there were many people that attended the funeral, even some that were gathered there in Mary and Martha's house comforting them, that said, well, yeah, Lazarus was a good guy, but just another funeral. I mean, the minister that conducted the funeral said a lot of nice things about him. And I'm sure that as we comfort Mary and Martha, that pretty soon their life will get back to normal and they'll just go on. I'm sure there were some that said, well, there's plenty of people there comforting Mary and Martha. There's no need for me to go. I'm sure there's some people said, I hate funerals anyway. I hate going to funerals. I hate being there after they're over. There will be others there. I think I'll just stay away. I think I'll just stay home. And yet, you know the story. On that particular day, Jesus decided to reveal himself in a special way again. He came to that cemetery in Bethany. He said, take the stone away. Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days already. Stinks. Jesus said, no, take the stone away. He prayed in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I was sitting in Brother Leonard's Sunday school class a couple weeks ago, and I think he made the statement, if I remember right, if Jesus hadn't called Lazarus by name, every dead body in that cemetery would have got up and come out. So he had to call him by name. Lazarus, come forth! And wrapped in grave cloths, and I've often wondered how he came out. I mean, if he was wrapped in grave cloths, he probably couldn't walk. And did he sort of hop out? Like I saw Bill hopping. I don't know what was going on over here when he was coming down from the choir, but he was hopping like a rabbit. But maybe that's how Lazarus came out of the grave. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And so here you have three events. You have a wedding, you have a meeting on a mountain, and you have a funeral. You had people that at the outset of each of those three events said, nothing special, just another wedding, just another meeting, just another funeral. Nothing extraordinary, nothing special about it. And yet, in each of those three events, Jesus decided to reveal himself in a more full way to the people that were there. He turned the water into the wine, and the Bible says the disciples believed on him. He took the small lunch and fed the crowd, 10, 15,000 people. And the Bible says the folks that saw it said, this is the prophet that come into the world. And in John chapter 11, verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And by the way, that's the purpose why Jesus reveals himself unto us. That's what he's trying to accomplish, that we would believe on him. That we would first of all receive him as our own personal Savior, but then that we would believe on him that he's capable to save everybody in the whole wide world. When he commissioned the disciples to go out and said, hey, you go out, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you go out and you tell people about their sins, and you tell people about the Savior, and you tell people about heaven, and you tell people about hell, and you tell them, like he told them often, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And as Jesus reveals himself to us today, he has that same purpose. He wants us to believe in him as our Savior. He wants us to believe in him as a commissioning God that can send us out to a dying world with a message of salvation that applies to every single person. Many other examples in the Bible that we could turn to tonight. You could say the same thing about each one of them. Jesus revealed himself in a special way. Those that were there received a wonderful blessing. And those who missed it suffered a huge cost. I want to make 4 points. Number one, in public worship, we may always expect to see Jesus and have him reveal himself in a special way. Let me say it again. Listen. I don't have a long message tonight, so listen. If you listen and I see you're getting it, we'll get done. But if I see you're not getting it, I'll have to repeat it. Point number one. In public worship, we should always expect to see Jesus. And we should always expect for him to reveal himself in a special way. Now let me just tell you what I'm talking about when I say public worship. Some of them come right to your mind. Sunday school is public worship. Church in the morning is public worship. Church at night is public worship. Prayer meeting is public worship. Having revivals is public worship. Weddings can be public worship. Funerals can be public worship. Any place where God's people are gathered together and the Word of God is opened is public worship. And when we meet in public worship, our expectation should always be that we're going to see Jesus and he's going to reveal himself to us in a special way. That's why, for example, on Saturday night at the mother-daughter banquet, we'll have a devotion. The Bible will be open, and that will be public worship. That's why when we have weddings in this place, the Bible's open, and there's a message in the wedding, and we should expect to see Jesus. That's why when we have funerals, and what a better place to worship God than at a funeral, especially when somebody's saved and on their way to heaven. But that's why at a funeral, the Bible's open, and we have public worship, and our expectation should be to see Jesus and have him reveal himself more fully to us. And I wonder how often we miss seeing Jesus because we don't show up. And I say, hey, Brother Darrell, you're talking to the Sunday night crowd tonight. We're here on Sunday night. You ought to be preaching this to the Sunday morning crowd, the morning glories who only shine in the morning, but by night they don't show up anymore, and especially not on Wednesday night. No, I'm preaching this right to the crowd that needs it. You're here tonight, and I want to just remind you, especially as summer's coming up, You just keep be faithful. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning. How many times do we miss seeing Jesus and learning a little bit more about him because we don't come when there's public worship? I want you to notice, it wasn't an outsider that missed this Sunday night service. It wasn't somebody on the fringe of the crowd. It was a disciple. It was one of the 12. It was one that had given his life to Christ. It was one that was going to die for Jesus. Same way today. It's Christians. People that have been born again. People that have committed their life to Christ. They miss Sunday night, miss Wednesday night. It's church members. Don't show up for prayer meeting, for special meetings. Anytime we're in this place, anytime God's people are gathered together, anytime the Bible's open, read, taught, preached, however you want to say it, there's an opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to us and we learn more about him. Point number two, God knows when we're AWOL. God knows. I wonder what Thomas thought when he decided not to come to this meeting of the disciples. I think he must have thought, well, you know, there's going to be lots of people there. Nobody, I think it's funny. Nobody will miss me. I mean, Peter will probably say something like he always does. John may pitch in something. Those two are always in on everything. Maybe James. But nobody will miss me. It wasn't just the 12 that were there. There was probably 100 people gathered in that room. And Thomas says, I just won't go. I just won't show up. And nobody will know that I'm gone. And yet every Christian that's read the Bible at all knows that Thomas wasn't there. I mean, it says right here, black and white. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, I want to remind you, God knows when we don't show up. He knows. He knows when we're absent. He knows why we don't show up. He knows what our motives are. And he knows what we're going to miss learning about him. Point number three. The reason that Thomas missed doesn't really matter. Maybe he was just tired. I don't think they got much sleep in those 3 days that Jesus laid in the tomb. I think they were afraid for their lives. I think they were hiding just like they were here because of what the Jews might do to them. Maybe he was a little bit discouraged. I mean, he'd given his life to Christ. He expected him to be the Messiah. He expected him to set up his kingdom. Now he lay in a grave. Yeah, Jesus had promised that something about 3 days and three nights, but I don't think the disciples understood what he was talking about before it happened. And maybe he was just discouraged that Jesus was dead and it appeared to be the end instead of the beginning of something. Maybe he was just afraid. I'm not going to get with those guys if they come and get us. I mean, they're going to do the same thing to us that they did to Jesus. It doesn't matter what the reason is. Thomas missed the blessing by not being there. Why do Christians and church members miss prayer meeting? Why do they don't come to Sunday school? Why they don't come to church at night? Maybe they're tired. I know a lot of times when I just look out at your faces, especially on Sunday night, and I can tell you're tired. Wednesday night, you're tired. Sometimes I don't think people come because they are discouraged. Various things that have gone on, maybe at church, they get discouraged. Sometimes, I think people are just indifferent. They don't care. Some are lazy. Some trade pleasure. But it doesn't really make any difference the reasons why we lay out. The important thing is we miss a blessing. And then point number four, those that are AWOL lose more than they gain by not coming. You may give your body rest, but you may miss soul rest. You may gain worldly riches, but you may lose spiritual peace of mind. You may gain the world, but you may lose your soul. And again, yeah, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. This Sunday night crowd. You're the faithful crowd. You're the ones that are here Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. And my point in bringing this message tonight is that every time that we're together, we ought to expect to see Jesus. We ought to expect to learn a little bit more about Him. If you're not saved, every time you come into a place where Christians are gathered together and the Word of God is open, hopefully you have an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. And if there's anybody here tonight, again, I think everybody here tonight is saved, I think. I don't know for sure, but I think they are. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have an opportunity tonight to receive Him. You have an opportunity tonight to get your sins forgiven. You have an opportunity tonight to make a reservation for heaven. You've got to come through Christ. He's the only way. And as Christians, when we come together, every time we come together, every time the Bible's open, we ought to expect to learn a little bit more about Jesus. As we learn a little bit more about Him, it'll make us a little bit more like Him. As we become a little bit more like Him, He can use us in a little greater way. So as the summer approaches, as we make decisions about Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, you guys just keep making decisions you have been making. Come. 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 Thomas. Now, you know, if you go ahead and read the rest of the chapter, the Lord came to him the next time that they were together, and because Thomas had said, when the disciples said, "Hey, we saw Jesus, you missed Him." Thomas said, "Hey, unless I can stick my fingers in His wounds, in His hands, and unless I can stick my hand in His side where the spear pierced Him, I'm not going to believe Him." And the next time they were together, Jesus said, "Thomas, go ahead. Stick your finger in my wounds. Go ahead. Stick your hand in my side." And Thomas said something like this, "Oh, my Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you see, you believe. Blessed are those who don't see and believe." Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this encouragement that comes from your word. I thank you for the group of people that are here tonight, the faithful ones. They're ones that are here every time the doors open. And I pray, Father, that you keep it so, that we wouldn't let their various reasons that come into people's life for missing church get into ours, and that we would continue to be faithful, and that, Father, we would be an example to others, and we would share the blessings, that just like the disciples did with Thomas, we would share the blessings that come from being faithful with others to help them be faithful too. I pray tonight, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, they'd use the opportunity that you've given us tonight to make sure. If it's just one that doesn't know for sure that they're saved, I pray they come tonight and receive Christ as their Savior. And then you speak to us as Christians. Impart to us the truth that you want us to get from tonight. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.